an edge. If you have a mustache or a driver's license, you do not qualify for children's church.
Praise the Lord. Everybody doing all right this morning? Everybody having a good time? Praise God. It's all about worshiping God.
That's right.
Lift your hand towards Brother David this morning. Father God, we just praise you, Lord, and thank you, Brother David. Lord, we just thank you for the word that you put in his heart. And Lord, as he shares these words with us this morning, the words that the Lord has given, Lord, we pray that we just take them outside these walls, share them with others, that they can come to know you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Y'all are looking good. Y'all stand up. Anybody told y'all you're looking good lately? Anybody told you that lately? Somebody said, I heard one guy say, they told me on the way in, on the way out, while I was sitting down, how good I looked. And I said, well, wow. Okay. I didn't get that one. Amen. I missed that memo. Amen. Get your Bibles out to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. God is so good all the time. Amen. Let's remember, we're going to have a guy today. We're supposed to have a special guest today. Y'all remember Aaron Tippin, the country music singer? Didn't y'all like him? He's not going to be here tonight. He's actually going to be one of Aaron Tippin's good friends is going to be here tonight. Somebody even said it was his brother. I don't think they're brothers. I think they're just good friends. But Aaron Tippin's a good, strong, patriotic man. And this guy here, Alan Cahoon, he said he was coming tonight. He said, if you come, bring your guitar. And so hopefully we're going to see him tonight. Y'all got it? Luke chapter 10. Now, I'm having a little problem with memory, but I heard about this man and woman, old man and woman, older man and woman. They were having problems with their memory, so they went to the doctor. And the doctor said, it's a simple remedy. Just write everything down. And they said, okay, we'll write everything down. And that night, they were watching TV, and the wife looked at the husband and said, I sure would like a bowl of ice cream. He said, no problem. He gets up, and he starts walking to the kitchen. And his wife says, hold on, remember what the doctor said? Write it down. He said, I'm just getting up, one bowl of ice cream, going to the kitchen, I'll be right back. Well, he was gone for quite some time. He comes back, and he brings bacon and eggs. His wife says, see, I told you you were supposed to write it down. You forgot the toast. All right. Amen. That's too real. Y'all don't even think that's funny because it's too real. I think I did that last night. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 10. We'll start at verse. We're gonna do something a little differently. Matter of fact, I want you to accept my apology because I haven't talked about this enough. And the Lord got on me and said, if you don't preach on it, then my people will be robbed of their blessings. And so I don't want you robbed of your blessings. And so today is going to be something awesome. I told you this whole year is going to be different. The first part of the year, we're going to get back into some areas. Matter of fact, we might even get into some uncomfortable areas. I hope today is not one of them, but we're going to get into some uncomfortable areas. And if we do, just bear with it because God's doing the work in us. Amen. He's getting us back on, getting us back in the way so we can get out of the way so he can show us the way. Listen to that. We're going to get back in the way so we can get out of the way so he can show us the way. All right, some one of y'all got it. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, That I love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in the place, came and looked on him and passed on by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, and he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. I thank you, God, for all that we've already felt, Lord, and what we're going to feel, Lord. I thank you, God, also, Lord, that you're here in a very real way. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, to have your will and your way. Help us, God, to see, to know, to understand your word. And Father, help us, Lord, in these last days to get a bearing on what's going on and get a good understanding of your word so we can have an anchor. And Father, I thank you, God, that you're going to do something special and powerful among us in the name of Jesus. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. Don't live there. The present is with us. Live there. The future is ahead of us. Prepare for there. In the name of Jesus. All right. We're going to talk for the next few weeks on the ABCs of stewardship. And I said, Lord, honestly, Lord, I was searching because I said, Lord, I've got all this stuff about stewardship and we all know stuff about stewardship, but I wanted something that was different. Something that would actually be totally different than maybe anything you've heard on stewardship. And of course, talking about the Good Samaritan is going to take you in a different direction you would think, or you might think, what does this got to do with stewardship? I'm going to talk about it as we get going. Hopefully, you'll see this in a whole different way. And as you see this, you'll understand it. Like I said, forgive me because I actually kind of back on some things, just throw it in messages here and there because I know people have a tendency to think, that when you talk about stewardship or talk about things like this, that all we're doing is trying to get your money. This is not about money. Tell somebody it's not about money. Tell somebody it's not about money. That's right. We're getting ready to talk about what it is about, okay? Now watch this. Stewardship. Oh, and next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism ready. And if anybody wants to be baptized, just let me know. All that requires to be baptized is that you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. We'll have to do it Sunday night. Anybody wants to be baptized, we can do it Sunday night. If need to be, if it's only one or two people, and they can't do it Sunday night but need it Sunday morning, we'll do it after the morning service. So it's either going to be after the morning service. We can adjust the times. It can be after the morning service, before the evening service, or after the evening service. But if you want to be baptized, please let me know. And it's going to be awesome, okay? So next Sunday, you want to be baptized, we're going to have the water here. And if you know somebody that needs to be baptized, and they won't, and you're stronger than they are, you can compel them to go in. Amen. Okay, so stewardship. Stewardship is using God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-given results. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Do you know there's a whole lot of, not much about us in there, there's a whole lot about God. You see that? Using God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-given results. Next week, we're going to talk about blessings. But this week, we're going to talk about something entirely different. Now, stewardship. Every time I've talked about stewardship, I've talked about it in three areas, and today I'm going to put a fourth one up there. And here's what I want you to see. Of course, stewardship is, let it rip, bro. Here you go. Time. Everybody needs to take care of their time. Matter of fact, I know you've noticed that the services have changed a little bit. And I have, you know, and some may think it's great. Some may think, oh, where's all the talking at? Well, honestly, again, stewardship. If we come in the morning service and we spend 30 or 45 minutes talking and then get aggravated when the word goes on for more than 15 minutes, we forgot everything. It's not about God. It's about everybody talking about everything. So what we're doing is we're trying to make sure, I know there's more songs, but it's about praise and worship. Getting you ready in praise and worship with less talk, praise and worship. So in order that praise and worship gets you ready, gets you to prepare the ground to receive the word. And so services aren't quite as long, and they're not getting out quite as late. Last Sunday we did, I understand, but normally we're not getting out as late, and things are going good. So please, you're saying, why is everything changing? We're trying to get away from all the talk and get toward worshiping God. It's about worshiping God. It's not a show. It's worshiping God. If it's just a show, pull the plug, shut the door, get out of here, all of us. It's about worshiping God. So that's why the services have changed. We're trying to get people in the mindset, because I can tell you, if I'm sitting out here and we have 25, 30 minutes of talking, my mind's gone. I'm just gone. But if you get here and you got worship going, then I'm starting to think, praise God. I'm starting to thank Him. So when the word comes, it's time. Number two, talent. How many's got talent? We'll use you. Whatever kind of talent you got, we will use you if you want to be used. Nobody's exempt. We will use you. Number three is treasure. Of course, it has to do with your resources, what you got, what you give to God, what you give to others, how you help other people. But you know what? That's what we always talk about. And here's the clicker. This is where it's going to be different about stewardship. And I said, Lord, I want it to be so different that when people see it, it'll actually make them think, wow, I never thought about it that way. Here's the third or the fourth word, testimony. Testimony. Now, how many would even think about testimony being a steward of your testimony? If you get around people and poor mouth, bad mouth each other, you get around somebody and talk about the church, talk about this, talk about that, you know what? You're not being a good steward of your testimony. I don't want to serve a God that doesn't help me. I don't want to serve a God that's always got His hand on me, pushing me down. I want to serve a God that's powerful and anointing, has an anointing in it. Even though I'm having problems, He's helping me. You can still tell your problems, but tell it in a positive way and have a positive testimony about it. So testimony. Number one about testimony is it's an acknowledgement. I'm acknowledging God. And when I acknowledge God, something special happens because I brought Him into the conversation. Then here's the big one, attitude. Has anybody ever seen anybody come in and had a bad attitude? I dare you to make me move. Play, sing, dance, whatever you want to do. I am not doing anything today but sitting here. Attitude. Now, now watch this. Action. Putting your attitude in action. So here we go. With all that in thought, all that thinking about as far as stewardship, watch this now. Here we go. Y'all say, here we go. All right. Stewardship. Watch this. I'm going to read it right off the thing up here because I want to... Oh, it fell over. Okay. Many think that stewardship equals money. That stewardship means giving my resources, but giving money to the church is not stewardship. It's only part of it. Y'all would need to shout me down or something. Number two, maybe it's about doing ministry, giving them my abilities. But what you do for ministry for God is still only part of it. So stewardship is not about what I can give and not about what I can do. What is stewardship about? Somebody say that. What is stewardship about then? If it's not about money and not about my abilities, what is stewardship about? I'm glad you asked. Get ready. Stewardship is about having the heart of stewardship. A good stewardship is a matter of attitude. That stands between your giving and your service. That attitude. Have you seen somebody? Look, let me ask you something. All right, say I give you $10 and say, I even heard about a church last week. The church, the pastor brought $1,000 out. And he put them in $50 envelopes. And he challenged the community, or challenged the church. He said, I want everybody to come up here and grab these $50 envelopes. And he said, when you come back next week, I want those envelopes empty. And he says, I don't want you to spend it on yourself. I want you to find somebody that's got a need, and I want you to fill it. Wow. That's powerful. Man, that's powerful. And so again, stewardship is about your attitude. If I told you, if I gave you $10 and said, here, go find somebody who has a need, wouldn't you feel good as you gave it to them? Now, what about if you had to give it to the IRS? Would you be smiling and going, all right? No, if you're smiling, I mean, if it's the IRS, I can promise you, you're not going to have a good attitude about that. So again, watch this now. Stewardship begins with your attitude. If your attitude is wrong, God even says, if your attitude's wrong, I'd rather you not even do anything. If you're going to do it grudgingly, I'd rather you not even do anything because you've lost your blessing already. So it's not what you give or what you do, but watch this, it's not what you give or what you do, it's why you do it. God does things different than we do. Why do you do it? Do you do it to be seen of men? Do you do it to be seen of somebody else? Do you do it to be seen of God? Do you do it to please somebody else? Do you do it to just get in the click? Or do you do it because you want to please God and you want to know that when you get to heaven, God's watching and God's going to take care of it? A lot of times you can watch somebody's attitude about things. When you see them doing it, if they're not blowing a trumpet when they do it, usually they got a pretty good attitude about it. But somebody's got to blow their trumpet all about it and put a banner flying by, look what I did. Wow. You're walking on dangerous ground. It's not about who sees it here. It's about who sees it there. It's about having that good attitude. And God's watching. God's watching everything that we do. You know, go ahead, brother. If you give money and resources to God with the wrong attitude, you're not being a good steward. Not only that, but go ahead, brother. If you do ministry and serve the church with the wrong attitude, you're not being a good servant. How many was on the way out the door sometimes and your mama said, your room's not clean. You clean that room and you can go. How many went in and said, you know, mama, you're right, and you got the dust mop and you started dusting and you started spraying and you got it all clean and you put everything folded up and put it nice in the drawer. How many did all that? Or how many just took and threw all their stuff in the closet? Slammed the door and said, I'm ready, mom. See, God's watching that too. He's watching how we do things. And it's so important. You know, there's times when I go to a Pitt Detention Center. I don't want to be there. Honestly, I got things in my family I got to do. My daddy may be home, and I ain't seen my daddy in 6 weeks. And I want to be there if my daddy's got something going on. But I know that I made a commitment to Pitt Detention Center. I am the deputy chaplain and assistant chaplain. If I'm not there, the other guys can't go, so I go. Why? And I don't have a bad attitude about it. When I get there, I always want to be in something good because I know God has placed that part of stewardship to me. There's times on Sunday morning that I've been here. I've preached here after, and I'm not pinning laurels on me, please. I'm not. Not at all. I'm just trying to say something here. I preached after 3 surgeries. I preached here when the doctor told me to stay home and in bed. And I preached. Not because I was showing off. Not because I was trying to look like I was anybody. But I just, again, I said, God, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for them, and I'm doing this for you. You see, again, God's watching how we do things. What? It's the matter of fact, the measure of a man is not what starts him. The measure of maturity is what does it take to stop you? So, here we go. So doing this ministry. So if you do ministry and serve the church with the wrong attitude, you're not being a good steward. So now watch this. What is it then? The attitude of stewardship. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, here you go. This is going to tell us about stewardship better than any other parable other than the stewardship parables. There's plenty of stewardship parables there, and we can talk about stewardship parables, but that wouldn't get your attention because, honestly, once you hear it 10, 15 times, if you're not careful, especially if you don't have the right attitude about stewardship, it just goes in this ear and out the other, or it goes this ear and falls out. So we're going to go a different direction. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a parable about the attitude of stewardship. Now let me just tell you something about this. This guy was caught on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. There's a 21-mile stretch of land. This 21-mile stretch of land was very treacherous. Not only was it treacherous and hard to maneuver, but marauders stayed on this because there's plenty of places they could hide. And so the marauders would stay there, up here. This would be their favorite habitat. And these thieves would come, and these thieves would rob people as they came through. Matter of fact, this road that he's on is called the Way of Blood. That's where he's at. He's on the Way of Blood. This Way of Blood was there, and people would not travel by themselves. They would travel in caravans. And they made sure they were armed. But they were traveling in caravans. It was coming through there because of all these thieves, especially at night. You would not go at night, definitely not at night. And so this guy here, this guy that got robbed, you can kind of say he was careless. He was reckless. He shouldn't have been traveling by himself anyway on the Way of Blood, but he's traveling on the Way of Blood. He's reckless. He's traveling, and all of a sudden these thieves get him. And when these thieves get him, they beat him half to death. Kind of reminds me of a guy was walking on the beach and he saw a lamp and he pulled up the lamp and he rubbed it to see what it said and a genie came out. Genie said, I'll give you three wishes. He said, but whatever you got, I got to tell you conditions. Whatever I give you, I'm going to give double to your mother-in-law. He went, oh man. So he said, I want $1 million. The genie went, poof, you got $1 million, but your mother-in-law's got 2 million. He went, oh no. He says, I like a 100-room mansion. He went, poof, you got a 100-room mansion, but your mother-in-law's got a 200-room mansion. He says, what's your last wish? He said, beat me half to death. Okay, so the Bible says this guy was beat half to death. He was stripped naked. He's up there. All the stuff's been taken away from him. Now watch this. This is awesome. There are three attitudes on display in this. And all these attitudes have to do with stewardship. These three attitudes, I can guarantee you, everybody in here has one of them. You may have this concerning certain areas of your life. You may feel one way in one area and one way another way, but still, you may have attitude whatever here and have attitude here or there. But God wants us to have one attitude, not several divided up in our lives, and He wants us to have the right attitude toward it all. So here we go. Watch this. The first attitude. Listen carefully. The first attitude is, everybody let it rip. Here you go. Here's the attitudes. He's doing really good. Just let it rip. You'll be all right. First attitude. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. Wow. How many like that attitude? Jesus said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves in this 21 strip of land, the Way of Blood. They stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So here's this first attitude of stewardship. Here it is. This is the attitude of the robbers. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. Wow. You know, it's an attitude of misplaced values, an attitude of misunderstood ownership. In the temporal, how many in here would say those guys were wrong? In the natural, how many in here would just raise your hand and say they were wrong? I mean, you know good and well, that's not right. You do not rob them. But here it goes, hold on. But in the spiritual realm, many times we rob God and take no thought of it. Y'all don't shout me down. If you're going to throw vegetables, make sure they're not canned. Many times we would not rob a person, but we rob God. But we want God to give us His best. We want God to do everything for us just like we need it. We need Him to answer right now. Be on time, God, and I want you to do more than I ask for. And then we rob him. Wow. I wonder how he feels about that. The Bible says in Malachi, go ahead, you got it there. Well, a man robbed God, yet you robbed me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. This is the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such much of a blessing that you'll not have room for it. Let me just break this down a little bit. God's not spewing out legalism here. He's inviting us into a covenant blessing. There's a whole lot of difference between legalism and a covenant blessing. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. But you know what? Go ahead, brother. That's Old Testament. But you know what? Abraham was before that, and Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. So let's don't go there that it's all Old Testament. See, so when nobody says, you have tested me, you've left me out, and bad came. They're trying to build God's house back. They're trying to build it back because it was torn down. It was overrun. And when they go to try to build it back, look at the other prophets. What happens is, when they go to build God's house, all of a sudden they decide, well, you know what? Our houses are more important. And so they start doing their own stuff first. And then they just kind of tip God. And God says, wait a minute. That's why you're putting your money in bags with holes in it. That's why the money's going nowhere. That's why you're losing everything. Because instead of putting me first, you leave me out. Bad came. Secondly, he said, I want you to try me. Try me. Put me first. If you put me first, good will come. Because now I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. Oh, it may not be the blessings you're expecting, but it's going to be there. I want you to watch this. Go ahead, Brandon. Hit it. Watch this. How much, this is a dollar by the way, how much of this belongs to God? All of it? Go ahead, bro, hit it one time. All of it. Now, secondly, although all of it belongs to Him, how much does He require? Watch this. Go ahead. Hit it again. He requires a dime. Matter of fact, I have discovered I live a whole lot better off of 90% than 100%. I've been blessed beyond blessed. I haven't got everything I've ever wanted. I'm not driving a big fancy car. I'm not living in a great big mansion. I ain't got a Learjet. But God has more than blessed my needs and blessed my family. That's right. That's right. I'll probably crash it. The point I'm trying to make is God has always taken care of me. He's always pulled through. Even when I thought He wasn't, my mother-in-law was a Jehovah's Witness. And there was no way we could convince her to go to church. There was no way we could convince her that serving God was the way to go. And after we'd been saved for about 4 years or 5 years, she came in on a Sunday morning. She said, what time's church start this morning? It's Easter Sunday. And I said, well, it starts at 10. What time? No, she says, I said, Sunday school starts at 10. She says, no, what time's church start? I said, oh, 11. She said, I'll be there. So I told DC and Daniel's mom, I said, Beverly, your mom's going to be here. She said, no, she's not. I said, yes, she is. And sure enough, at 11 o'clock, that little woman come marching in. And she sat down on the pew beside us. And when the preacher got through preaching, had an altar call, my mother-in-law stood right up, went right up to the altar. And she started praying, and the preacher asked her what she needs. She said, I need to be saved. I got up behind her on one side, Beverly on the other. We prayed for her. She got saved that day. We walked out, and I looked at her, and I said, wow. Wow, that's awesome. You just called out of clear blue sky and you went to go to church and now the preacher preaches a sermon and weren't even about salvation. You get saved. She said, I'll be honest with you. She said, it weren't a whole lot about what the preacher said. When y'all say that now, I feel bad, okay? I said, well, what was it? She said, I've been watching you and my daughter for 5 years. She said, when you first got saved, I thought y'all were crazy. She said, matter of fact, she said, I saw y'all getting more trouble, more fix, more things came your way after you got saved than ever. I said, it's called spiritual warfare. And she says, yes. And she said, honestly, I asked myself, why do y'all even want to be in it if you're going to have that problem? Then she said, I started watching. And she said, the bigger the problem got, the bigger God stepped in. And she said, I watched God deliver you time and time and time and time again. And she said, you know what? The God I was serving didn't do that. She said, I like what I saw. She said, it actually got to my heart watching y'all. She says, if I'm going to serve God, I want to serve a God like y'all serve, who's there for you every time and has never let you down. And she's still serving God today. Amen. God's awesome, isn't he? So that's the first attitude. That's somebody go, phew, we're going to the second one. The second attitude is really kind of simple. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. That's what Jesus, who does Jesus say passed by this man in the ditch? Who's the first two? You know, that priest and Levite. In other words, a pastor and a deacon. A pastor and a deacon pass right past him, and they just go on by him. Wow. Lost mine is mine, I'm going to keep it. I remember one time Daniel was little, and a lot of times we were riding down the road. We'd been to see his grandmama or something riding down the road, and Daniel, little bitty fella. And he said, we were riding through Wilson, and Daniel said, Daddy, can we get some French fries? And I'm going to tell you something. I honestly didn't have much money. I didn't have but a couple of bucks in my pocket. And when Daniel said, it's so sweet, I said, okay, Daniel, we'll get some French fries. So we stopped at Hardee's. We didn't have the dollar menu by the end. And so I bought some French fries and I bought a drink. As a matter of fact, I spent all my money. And so I'm riding down the road, and Daniel's just as happy as a lark, eating those French fries, drinking that drink. And I reached over, and I grabbed a French fry. And when I grabbed the French fry, Daniel said, what are you doing? He wouldn't do that now. I know he wouldn't, but maybe not to you, okay? Yeah, with that picture he sent you, I know. Can I tell him that? That picture. Brandon cut off the tip of his finger, if y'all don't know that. Brandon cut off the tip of his finger. And the day he cut it off, Daniel sent him a picture wearing a Duck Dynasty hat and beard, doing like this. Yeah, he did like this. Daniel sent him a nub. And he wrote back and said, my brother, thank you for the encouragement. So Daniel goes, what you doing? And I said, I'm going to get me a French fry. And he said, they're mine. Let's see. It was my wallet, my car, my wallet, my money, my mouth ordered the French fries. Money came out of my wallet to pay for them. I reached over and handed them to him. And he's going to question me about grabbing one fry and tell me they're his. Now, again, he wouldn't do that now. Not at all. I didn't do this to make him feel bad. I needed this as an illustration. That's right. Oh, my house with three boys, I still have scars right here. When I went to Goober Children and grabbed a French fry on my brother's plate, he stabbed me with a fork. Gary, he said, stop it! Guess what? I stopped it. Matter of fact, I tried to get the bleeding to stop too. How many times, if God owns it all and God give it to us, and he says, you know what? I'd like a little bit back. Come on now. And we go, oh, that's mine. Don't shout me down. Please don't shout me down. I told you, I don't preach on it much. This is the first time I preached on it in a while, so I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. If you're going to kill me, I want to be killed over something. I'm going to be worth getting killed over. So God gives it to you, and then you go, hey, that's mine. That's mine. It's like the scientists said. Some scientists went to God and said, we don't need you anymore. We can make our own man. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, we can clone them. He said, we can do all kinds of genetic research. We can make our own man. So God said, I tell you what, then we'll have a contest. We'll have a man-making contest. He says, okay. He said, God says, I'm going to make my man, you make yours. And so he said, I want you to make him from dirt. He said, okay, I can make him from dirt. And so God says, okay, let's go. And the scientist said, well, where's the dirt? And God said, get your own dirt. So God says, give it. Let me get some of it. And we go, no! It's mine! That day when Daniel did it to me, my heart, it took me all the way to Benson. I had to remind myself that Daniel's only just, you know, he's not that old. And you know. Like somebody was picking the other day about somebody was picking the other day. I was at somebody's house and they couldn't get their baby potty trained. And I said, don't worry. I said, eventually they'll be potty trained. They said, what are you talking about? I said, well, DC and Daniel got potty trained pretty easy once the peer pressure kicked in. There's something about a fourth grader arguing with you, make you take that diaper off. Okay. I'm just kidding. Those boys potty trained themselves. I didn't have to even do anything. All right, ready? So here it is. A Levite and a priest. Y'all say a preacher and a deacon. A pastor and a deacon. That's what they're doing. They're on the way to do service for God. Matter of fact, it says down, so it's even more likely they even have, they're on the way away from it. It's not even they're even doing it. They've already done it. They're on the way back. And on the way back, but they know that they're not supposed, look, these guys here, look at these guys. These are awesome guys. They're religious leaders. They're men of ministry. They're doers in the congregation. They're trained to serve God. They're trained to do ministry. When the time comes to do real ministry, they turn their heads. Wow. I can understand the Bible says in the Levitical regulations that if they come close to an unclean thing, then they can't serve in the temple. They gotta go stand outside because they've gotta be re-cleansed because they can't literally get their hands dirty. They cannot touch a dead person. They cannot get around an unclean person. And so these guys let legalism keep them from doing real ministry. You remember me telling you about the time that I got called? I was pastoring at Bath, and I got a call from another pastor in the community. He says, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." He said, "I got something I want you to do for me." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm sending you over a woman and two kids." And I said, "Okay, what's up?" And he said, "Well, they came here, but they really don't fit in." He said, "I know they're your kind of people." They're my kind of people. He said, well, they're not really dressed good, and they actually aren't taking baths. And the woman, she's been messed up in drugs. And so when she comes in, she don't even know what's going on. And the kids are just, you know, it's just your kind of people. And I said, you know what? I believe you're right. I picked the Jesus. I picked the people Jesus would pick. And Jesus would say, come on. So send them on. Matter of fact, if you got anybody else like that, send them. Just send them all. Anybody comes your way, don't even let them stop by your church. Just send them on to our church. And I remember that first Sunday, I walked out there when they came in, and I literally walked out and took a cloth when the kids were back there with me in the back at the back. And I remember wiping one of their noses because it was just terrible, and the other one was just, and I remember that. But you know what? I took them and put them in. I said, look, y'all, make sure that these people feel welcome. You see, God's not into legalism. God's not into that mess. Their attitude was, what was mine is mine. I'm gonna keep it. You know, remember, when they could do real ministry, they didn't do it. You know, I remember Brother Haslip got me one time bad. I was sitting in the church working at Greenville Church of God, and somebody calls and says, is the pastor there? I said, no. I said, I'm his intern. Can I help you? And she said, yeah, we need prayer. I said, okay, I'll tell him. And I hung up. Brother Haslip called me back. I called Brother Haslip and said, somebody just called the church and they need prayer. He says, well, good, did you pray for him? And I said, well, I'm an intern. He said, you're a not so bright intern too, aren't you? So the second attitude, I'm getting close. Y'all go ahead and say, thank you, God. Here comes the good one. Then there's the third attitude. The third attitude is, what's mine is yours, and I'll share it with you. The Bible talks about this Samaritan that says, and behold, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds and poured oil in and wine in him, and he set him on his own beast and brought him in the inn, took care of him, gave the man money, and said, whatever costs you, let me know, I'll take care of it. Look, that's real ministry. Now, I don't want to get too much into all he did because that's another sermon. I won't talk about his attitude because his attitude is stewardship. Watch. He was not trained in ministry. He had other things to do in his life. Matter of fact, the Samaritan was considered a dog because the Samaritans were actually part Jew and part Greek. And so these guys were mixed. And so to them, they were considered, they didn't worship at the temple. They worshiped upon the mountain. And so they considered the Samaritans dogs. They wouldn't even go. Jesus said, they even asked Jesus when he went into the town of Samaria, why are you going in there? The good Jew goes around Samaria. And he says, I got something going on here and I got to take care of it. You see, watch this. So here it goes. What made the difference? His attitude. Watch this. This is so awesome. What made the difference? His attitude. It helped him overcome his prejudice, ignore the inconvenience, give up his possessions to take care of this man. And because of his actions, made this whole story worth telling. If it weren't for the Samaritan, it wouldn't even be worth it. Because I didn't want to hear the other junk. Tell me about somebody's doing it right. So that's what the third attitude is, the right attitude. It's all about the attitude of ownership. And watch this. This is so awesome. God owns it all, don't he? God owns it all. We're called to manage what he's entrusted to our care. Our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony, it all begins and ends with our attitude. Remember, it's God's anyway. It's all God's. I had a man in my house, or not my man in my house, a man in my family one time. I would tell him, he'd go, well, why do you give to God and why do you give to church and why do you give to these people and do all this stuff? And I said, I look at it as giving unto God. And I said, I'm going to take care of God. I'm going to put God first because God puts me first. And that man looked me right dead in the face and said, God doesn't pay my bills. I do. And I said, yeah, but God gives you the strength to work. He said, God doesn't do my job. I do. I said, but you need God to help you every day. He says, I don't even need God's help. I said, okay. Somebody in my family. Not in my immediate family, but in my family. And so I remember him saying that, and one week later, the insurance changed. Instead of paying $20 a week like they used to do, all of a sudden now he's paying $100-something a week. Y'all remember that? He comes to me and goes, you know what, I'm getting ready to lose something. And he told me what he was getting ready to lose. He had a bill he had to pay. He says, you think I can get some money from you to help pay that bill? And I said, sure, I'll help you out. I said, what happened to all the money that you said you had and you were making? He said, well, my insurance changed and they went from taking out, I don't know, maybe $10 a week to $100 a week and said, now everything's gone crazy. I said, okay. And it hit me what he said. And so the next week he came to me and said, you know what, I'm having trouble doing this. And I said, really? He said, yeah, you think you might could help me out? I said, sure. And then it really hit me hard again. And I wanted to say, so you got this on your own, right? You don't need God. About the third week, another person in my family came and got this person and got him a new job, making twice as much money. Excuse me. He came to me the third week and he said, I was wrong. He said, matter of fact, God does give me strength. And God does help me on my job. And everything I got comes from God and it's His. And the following week, another member of the family came and got him another job making twice as much money. And he never had a problem again once he started putting God where he belonged. So now, it all begins and ends with testimony. Again, testimony is an acknowledgement that God owns it all. It's an attitude that, not this, it's mine! No, it's yours. You do with it what you please. When DC and Daniel were teenagers, those boys would get riding down the road and they would butt down me and not even know it. I get a call from DC or Daniel at 2 o'clock in the morning. I hear what they're doing. And I'm going, fellas, hey! Hey! They don't even hear me because they butt dialed me. Boys, y'all did some crazy mess at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I would take the phone. Here's what I would do. And I'd say, God, they're not mine. They're yours. I said, you just loaned them to me. Matter of fact, can you do something with them? And I'd hold the phone up and say, God, they're yours. Protect them. And when Daniel went to Afghanistan, Daniel would call me, I'd hear some things, and I'd start. And then I'd get by myself, and I'd go, no, you gave me this man, child. He's yours. You just loaned him to me. He's yours. Take care of him. God is yours. You see, attitude. Attitude is everything. And then there's the actions. Don't tell me you love me and slap me. The Bible says don't tell a man to be warm. And you got two coats and he's got nothing. You tell him to be warm. Oh, that's cool. I'm going to keep my coats, but I'm going to tell you to be warm. You know, the greatest example is right here. And then I'm closing. Make your attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men, and when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was saying, he even said it, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, watch this, Father, this is all yours anyway. It's yours. Take me and do with me what you please. So now, you can quit now. Now you can get a bunch of leftovers. They're all his. They all belong to him. I'll go ahead and use it anyway. I just manage it. If I master this attitude, I'm a good steward. Everybody stand. Fellas, y'all come play some. Next week, we're going to talk about the blessings that come to you. Everybody wants blessings. I love showers of blessings. Amen. God owns it all. God owns it all. When I bring my tithe to the storehouse, when I minister to others, when I take time out of my day to help somebody, when I take my talent and use it for God's glory, when I take my treasure, give back to God and give to others, and then my testimony, I guard it. I don't want to be an old goat. I guard that testimony. It's amazing. It's amazing what God will do. Real quickly, with everybody here, I just want everybody to bow your heads for a minute. Just bow them for a minute. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know Him. And I know that that's hindering me because I do not feel that peace that comes from being a Christian. And I need that peace. I need to know I'm his child. Things are getting too hairy around here and too bad. If I'm talking to you right now, with nobody looking around, would you put up that hand and say, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. I need Him. Maybe you're here and you slipped through the cracks. Something happened and you went the other way and you lost your enthusiasm, you lost your joy, and pretty soon you just lost it all. And you're needing God to renew that right spirit within you while nobody's looking. If you can say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to Christ. I need you to restore that joy in my heart. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here right now, and maybe you never understood stewardship, and this is not an all-inclusive teaching on stewardship, but it's a starting point. And maybe you've seen it different than you've seen it before. And now you may understand it different with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you say, I understand it, and now I just need God to help me to do better. But nobody looking around, would you raise that hand and say, I just need to know. God, I need you to help me do better. I need you to help me. I understand it. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever your need may be, you just want to come and thank God for being here. Right now, the altars are open. The altars are open. The altars are open. Thank you, Lord. You got anything, any need from God, you just want to praise Him. You want to talk to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch Him right now, Lord. Meet every need in my brother's life. You love him and I love him too, Lord. Father, minister, Lord, meet every need, God. Never loses power. Their blood will never lose its power. God is awesome. Go ahead, church, raise your hands. Reaches to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never lose His power. Yes, thank you, Father. It reaches to the highest mountains. Oh, it reaches to the lowest valley. And the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never, come on, church. It will never lose its power. Yes! God's awesome! Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to dismiss us in prayer this night, and we're going to do it together. We're all going to say this together, okay? Get ready. Father, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, God, for opening my eyes. And Father, help me to give my attitude to you so that you can get glory. I thank you, Father. From this day forward, I want to be a better steward of my time, my talent, my treasure, and my testimony. In the name of Jesus, it's all yours anyway. And we thank you for it. Amen. Y'all coming back tonight, remember, Aaron Tippin is not going to be here, but come on.